Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
Welcome to Renewing Your Mind, helping you realize the true transformation as promised in Romans 12:2. We address the topic of avoidant personality disorder and related conditions. Does criticism destroy you? Do you feel rejected by everyone, or do you feel all alone in the world? Do you feel as if everyone is better than you or everyone is watching? If this describes you, this podcast is for you. If this describes someone close to you, this podcast is for you. This is a space to share experiences, ask questions, support one another, and begin to find healing and hope through the renewing of your mind.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up.
And now, here are your hosts, Philip and Rebecca Dacus.
Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Renewing Your Mind, helping you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I just love that song, which, of course, is why I chose it. But every time I listen to that song by Kirk Franklin, I have to smile, and I have to, which is the title of the song, because there is joy in the Lord, and there is great things in healing, which is what we're all here for, to find healing from avoidant personality, which is also called AVPD, which is the technical abbreviation. I usually don't use that because, well, I tend to get a little tongue-tied when I say that too many times fast, so I usually address it as avoidant personality disorder, just to avoid that. Avoidant personality disorder, if you're new and haven't listened to us before, includes things like hypersensitivity to rejection and criticism, isolation, feelings of inadequacy, being overly self-conscious, feeling inferior. You feel just like everybody is better than you and you're worthless. You're unable to cope in social situations. And of course, the biggie, which is depression. And by the way, since even though this is avoidant personality disorder that we're focusing on, it encompasses all of these various phobias and issues. So even if you're not dealing with avoidant personality, if you have one of these others conditions, then you will benefit from this podcast as well. So first of all, I just want to welcome everybody that has joined us with, or if you weren't able to join live, which is a possibility because I, just because I've been so busy this week, I wasn't able to get this set up as quickly as I had hoped. I like to try and get the links out for the class early in the week, but didn't happen this week. So my apologies for that. Hopefully everybody was able to join anyway, but even if you are not able to, I will post the link to this class, which will also eventually be on our website as well. I don't know if it's up there just yet, but it will be soon. If you have not visited the website, it's avoidance.org or avoidantpersonality.com. Both take you to the very same place. And there's some good information on there, as well as hopefully all of these podcasts, and you can pick and choose the one that appears to you. The call-in number, this is a live podcast, if you will. So we are broadcasting live right now, but it's also a podcast, which technically means that it's recording, so this will be recorded as well. The call-in number, though, you're always welcome to call in with questions, either for myself or for my co-host that I'll introduce here in just a moment. That call-in, that phone number is 646-668-2841. You can call in and be live on the air if you wish. Chat room is also available. We keep everything very sense of privacy and such. There's no names or anything like that, so don't worry about anything like that getting out. But you're more than welcome to come to the chat room and post questions. Email, of course, is always available if you want to email those. The email address, restoring@restorationforthemind.com. So without too much further ado, I want to go ahead and jump into tonight's podcast, because this is something that, well, this is not really something that we planned. We're planning doing this kind of off the cuff, so to speak, which I always find is the best way anyway, because it gives the Holy Spirit room to work. So I prefer not to have things too carefully scripted. Tonight we're going to be talking about is we're basically just going to be giving our testimony where we've been, what we've gone through and are still going through, and what is coming out on the other side. The journey that we're not is not done yet, but we're getting there. So I have here my permanent co-host, which is my wife, Rebecca.
Hello.
And she is what I call the normal in the relationship, I being the one that had avoidant personality disorder, so she can answer questions from the perspective of a normal. She knows what that side of things are, by the way. And if you join us for the first time, you may not know some of these terms. And just for the purposes of this class and podcast, a normal is somebody that does not have avoidant personality, that doesn't suffer from depression and all these other things that makes up avoidant personality. And then myself, I'm the one that has suffered from avoidant personality, which includes depression and all that other stuff. So without going to that any further, we're going to jump right into our testimony. We're just going to talk about our journey, where things started, and hopefully where things are going to be ending up here shortly. So what do you think, my co-host? Do you have a idea? How did this all start?
Well.
I know it's kind of a loaded question.
Well, yeah. I guess the first thing would be that I think it's important to note that both Philip and I had never been married before.
Right.
We were both of the same mindset that we were Christians. We were praying for God to bring the right person into mm-hmm. our lives. And we waited on the Lord. And we waited. And we waited. And I'm 10 years younger than Philip is. So mm-hmm. He waited 10 years longer than I did. So by the time we ended up finding one another, which was kind of a miracle in and of itself, you just get to the point where you think, you know, I prayed about this, I prayed on it, I believe that this was God bringing us together because of the circumstances that surrounded our getting together. It really did seem miraculous. So I don't know if we want to talk about how we met or
sure. Well, how the whole thing started, and my wife can certainly tell it a lot better than I do, which all women tend to do, because men just kind of cut to the chase, just the facts. Women elaborate a lot better.
Then let me tell it.
Okay, then go ahead.
So I lived in Idaho and he lived in Texas, and I worked for a company who had a vendor that Philip worked for. And so he was our dedicated rep, and we had spoke on the phone numerous times every single day regarding our work situation, and it was only always about work. It was never anything personal, and this went on for months and months and months and months and months. And one day, my computer stopped working, and his computer stopped working. And there was kind of just dead air, and we didn't really know what to say to each other. And my computer would act like it was going to start and do something, and then it kind of stalled out, and then his did the same thing, and then we got to the point where it was like, well, should we just talk later? And then he said, well, what did you do before you worked there? And I told him, which I worked for a Christian organization at that before my employment where I met him, and I asked him the same, and he said he was with YWAM, and I said, oh, Youth with the Mission, and that is another Christian organization. And so it was, I think, really neat on both of our accounts just to say, wow, this person is a believer, and this person, you know, wow, who knew? What a strange coincidence, you know. And then our computers kind of got where they needed to be, and we finished up the phone call. But at the end of the call, he said, would you mind if I called you at home one day after work? And that was pretty bold of him, especially being an avoidant, you know, in retrospect. So I had known his boss pretty well, and called him, and I said, what do you think about this guy? Should I let him call me? And he said, oh my gosh, he's perfect for you. You're going to marry him. And sure shooting, I did. And so we spoke on the phone every single night for months, and we were able to talk about things in a very what's the word I'm looking for when you don't feel threatened? Like just a really relaxed situation. Where
comfortable.
You know, instead of going on a formal date and whatnot, you know, where you're kind of uptight and you want to put your best foot forward. We just talked on the phone. And we got to know each other really, really well during that time. And then he said, hey, I'm gonna come see you. So I agreed for him to come see me. And then he wanted to come again. And the first meeting didn't go really well. I was like, nah, I don't know about this person. I don't know. He's just not my type, whatever. But he is a really good man. He was very kind to me. He would send me roses and, you know, different things like that, which I always thought was nice to be doted on. How come don't you do that anymore? No, just kidding. anyways, then a month later, he wanted to come up for Valentine's Day, and then he told me he wanted to move here. And miraculously, he got a job with a company that it's really hard to get into right off the bat, but he got into it, and within a few months, he moved here, and then we started actually physically dating.
Yeah, so for me, the way things worked was extremely comfortable, and that was why I was able to be so bold, because being an avoidant, if I would have had to have seen Rebecca in person, I would have never asked her out. But since I was able to do this over the phone, it was completely comfortable because I was isolated. There was some protection against rejection because it was just a phone call. If things didn't go well, you hang up. Or
non-threatening.
Yeah, non-threatening. Okay. So it worked out very well for me. That was, in retrospect, probably the only way that it could have happened. And it did work out that way. I had put out my resume in several different places, and I had prayed and said, hey, God, if you want this to work, you're going to have to find me a job. Because I had no job. It was in Texas at the time, which is where I'm from. You might be able to tell from my accent. And Rebecca is from Idaho. So I said, hey, God, if you need this, if you want this to work, you're going to have to find me a job in Idaho. And I sent out my resume to several different places. And within about a week, I started getting phone calls. And they were from what you call headhunters, just people that were looking to fill a position. And it was for HP. And there was no interview. There was no nothing. They said, show up, go to work. So Rebecca flew down to meet me, which was extremely harrowing experience to wonder if she was actually going to show up.
Yeah.
Because in my head, especially being an avoidant, I was scared to death that it wasn't going to happen. But she flew down, and We drove back and got here in Idaho on Sunday, and I went to work on Monday. So it was definitely a big God thing.
Yeah, and I think both of us, it was not for a lack of praying or having faith. We did not walk into this relationship just willy-nilly, like, hey, we're just going to do this. We're going to wing it and see what happens. I know I spent a good amount of time in prayer. I know you did. And then just the comfort of just feeling the Lord blessing this unity coming forward. So he had not been here very long. Probably, like, you came in April, and probably that fall. Wow. Yeah, probably that fall, we kind of started seeing each other's, or I started seeing, you know, what an avoidant personality person looked
like.
Well,
did you know at the time?
Yeah, because you had told me over the phone, oh, yeah, I was in the military and I was diagnosed with avoidant personality disorder. And then I just thought it was like, well, yeah, put a cream on that or take a pill for that, and now you're good. But the actual interactions, when there were conflicts or when I would just do something what I would normally do on a daily basis or whatever, and then you took things personally and thought that I was being very critical or overcritical, and it was just over silly stuff. But I just continued to think, well, this is just getting to know people. You know, we've come from two different backgrounds. We're both older. I was 30. He was 40. So you're kind of set in your ways, and, you know, you're just trying to make things work. And there were some pretty hard times where I questioned it. Should I be marrying this person? But it never really occurred to me that avoidant personality disorder was the other person in our relationship, the other entity in our relationship that wreaked so much havoc.
Yeah, I remember many a time when, and this was in the early stages of our marriage before she really understood what avoidant personality, many a time that she would say, well, just get over it. And to anybody that has ever dealt with depression or any of these other issues, you know that that's just not possible. You just can't get over it. It's not like, take cancer and these other issues. Not that you can just get over them. And I definitely don't want to downplay those at all, but these are things that can pretty easily be dealt with as compared to mental disorders like depression and all this. These are things that we can't grasp with our senses. So they're much more difficult to deal with than something you can see.
Well, and I just want to clarify, I didn't always say just get over it. That was kind of a joke with us earlier on, because that was something that he had said all the time, get over it, get over it. And I thought it was pretty crass. But then I started using that logic on him, and then it really poked the bear. Like, I can't get over it. But I didn't even know at the time what you needed to get over. I had no concept. And I do remember, we were going to get married. So I think that October that we closed on a house, and he moved into it prior to me. We got married in January. And during, you know, between like November, December, those 2 months, you know, you're busy getting ready for a wedding, it's the holidays, all of these things, and the stresses are really high just for a normal person. But I didn't realize all of the stressors that were happening in his life as well. And so I just thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't be marrying this guy. I shouldn't marry him. And I just thought, well, God has brought us to this, so he'll bring us through it. Right? Like, that's just my mentality. Like, I have cold feet, or he has cold feet, or our arguments have gotten to a place where I'm just not sure who this person is. I don't understand this, but my faith was just like, oh, well, we'll take care of it. We'll get over it. This is what happens when you bring two people that are older in their life, I mean, 10 years apart from both of us, two separate worlds coming into one. It's gonna be hard.
and it was beyond hard. You know, one of the things that we learned through this, and we learned an awful lot, both of us did, it was a huge learning process and learning curve. I think maybe for more so for Rebecca than me, because she had to develop a lot of grace to understand me. And I try, of course, to understand my wife best I can, but she carried a lot of the burden of on the relationship. But one of the things that I wanted to address quickly, and it's one of the big misconceptions, if you will, about not just avoidant personality, but anything. When you have a disorder, whatever it is, fill in the blanks, and then you become a Christian, a lot of the times we think, whether it's been taught to us or whatever the reason, we think that when we become a Christian, all of a sudden these things will go away. And they don't. Most of the time, now, God being God, he can do whatever he wants, and he can heal you instantly. But more often than not, there's a process. If you were an avoidant personality before you became a Christian, then guess what? You were probably a Christian that had avoidant personality. If you smoked before you became a Christian, after you became a Christian, you were probably a Christian that smoked, and on and on and on, fill in the blanks with whatever that might be. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't heal you instantly. It just means that there is a purpose in the journey. There's something to be gained from going through and having to do the work. Don't you agree, honey?
I think that's like that in any situation, whether you have avoidant personality order or not. Like, because we're all just, the Bible says we're changed from glory to glory. So we know in our life there's going to be change. And so it's just like, how obedient are you going to be to the Lord? And that, I think, was really, really hard for me, because I didn't think that you were being obedient to the Lord during this. I feel like now looking at it, you were probably as obedient as you possibly could have been. But I would almost argue, too, that when you have avoidant personality disorder, it's not just with the person that you're sitting next to. I mean, it really bleeds into your relationship with the Lord and the ability to get totally close to God in surrender and trusting him. I mean, those issues go up and down versus, you know, back and forth. Too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you get closer to the Lord and you start letting him start healing you, that's when I started seeing a little bit more change in the way we did things. And it wasn't always this steady climb into this wonderful mountaintop experience. We had a lot of valleys in it too.
Right. And that's one of the things as well. We often think in terms of, well, I'm going to come to be a Christian and it's going to change tomorrow. Probably not, especially when you're dealing with something like avoidant personality disorder. What I tell most of the people who I talk to is when it comes to something like avoidant personality disorder, it's baby steps. Baby steps, meaning that they're very small, sometimes advances you might may not even be able to tell. In a normal person's life, you expect or you hope for or you're praying for change, and that change happens. And in avoidant personality person's life, that happens as well, but it happens often at a much slower pace. These changes don't happen overnight. In some cases, they take a long time, and that's why we're doing this this podcast. So getting back to our testimony, at what point did you start to understand a little bit more about avoidant personality?
Not soon enough. I think that kind of going back, I want to maybe go chronologically, because there were some pretty low lows and I feel like, had it not been for someone in your life me, challenging you on your thinking, challenging you on a lot of different ways, and it was painful. It was like you were talking about baby steps, but there were things that were really, really hard for you to give up. And some of them, when we first got together, it was just nutrition, right? Remember that? How you were so exhausted. And I don't know if this is like across the board or across the, you know, the whole avoidant personality population, but, you know, nutrition plays a huge role in it. So I was saying, you know, like we need to kind of get to the bottom. Why are you so tired? Why are you so this? Why are you so that? So I was always trying to pick apart things that I could relate to. And you were, I mean, remember I had you go under the Chinese medicine lady, and I mean, we finally landed on a good vitamin that we really, really helped. And I call that his happy pills. But during the whole time, I mean, this was even prior to us getting married. So we get married, then, you know, we got pregnant with Alyssa like 4 or 5 months later. And then, of course, looking back at it now, there's just this normal thing that happens when you're pregnant. You have all these hormonal things. So I was more hormonal maybe than I obviously normally would be, but you wouldn't come aside me and you wouldn't, you know, treat me in like a, like, I guess I would have wanted to have been treated. And so some of that anger started happening at that point in time early on in our relationship. And I think a seed was really planted in my heart at that point in time, which I think is important in our testimony to see what was happening on my part of things. So, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you think that you might have had some sort of seed planted of hatred or, you know, like anger or resentment, you know, I think that you would do very well to just give yourself a huge break and that other person a huge break and just ask for forgiveness, bring it up to that other person if they're able to, because sometimes you weren't able to hear how you made me feel, which made me feel worse, which made my resentment worse. And it was just like this really weird roller coaster. And I started just getting down and depressed and like, why am I here? I should have listened to myself. I should have never got married. And so those old things, you know, like, your mind is so, so important to renew it. That's we're trying to get that point across. You've got to renew your mind. You know, you can't speak curses over your life. I shouldn't have done that, or he's just that, or like those are word curses that go onto that person or put on yourself. And so in this journey, even before I clued into what was happening, there was some destruction happening, and I just like think of that Tasmanian devil just coming in and just ripping up and laughing and just, you know, like, oh, I got him. Now I get a link into her. And I feel like my self-image really started taking a hit, and my confidence that I used to have. And you can ask my friends and my family. They wondered where I went. They, you know, and I became very secluded. I was secluded from my family and my friends. I felt a lot of guilt being with them because he wouldn't be. I would get angry with him because he wouldn't be and he couldn't be social and different things like that. But I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what was going on. I had no clue. I mean, we would go to church with our little girl and you would completely fixate on her and laugh and joke and stuff during the service. And I would just be like rip snorting angry with you in church in front of God and everybody because you couldn't just be quiet and listen to the sermon and be normal. And so these things went on for years. And then it was probably 5 or 6 years into our relationship, our marriage, that I had just said, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this. This is bigger than me. He's such a jerk. He's so selfish. And honestly, I do want to point out, being an avoidant does, I mean, human beings in general, we can suffer from that selfishness, right? We want it to be all about us. But With you, I felt it was so much more. And with an avoidant, it is very, very self-centered. Everything is very centered on themselves, but it's not in an egotistical way. Does that make sense? You know?
Right. It's because we're the only ones that we can trust. We're the only ones that won't hurt us. I won't hurt myself. Well, at least not intentionally, but anybody else around me is a potential threat. And I'll often used that analogy. I used to hate going to the mall. I dreaded it with every fiber of my being. I would not go. And that's because the mall was full of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And every single one of these people is a potential threat. So my mind would analyze the threat level of all of these people, if that makes any sense at all. So I would determine, for instance, that person is too short, they're a threat. This person is too tall, they're a threat. This person is better looking than me, they're a threat. This person is ugly, they're a threat. And on and on and on and on, and doing this millions and millions of times a second for all of these people that are around me. So this is why I became completely exhausted when I went to the mall, to the place where I would eventually break down and had to get out.
Right. It was really strange. I couldn't understand it. And you couldn't even put words to it. So one thing that I have always wondered is why didn't you just tell me? Because we went on for years like this. And you get aggravated, and then, like, what would be a fun time for me and us hang out together and whatever, all of a sudden, you know, is now like you kind of peed in my Wheaties type of thing. And it was like that with everything, you know, going to church or going anywhere in any massive crowd or any place that wasn't safe here in home, because you're more comfortable in the four walls of our home
and,
you know, watching your TV, eating your snacks, whatever.
And that's why avoidant personality depression, so on and so forth, is so dangerous. Actually, it's very dangerous for so many reasons. But one of them is that you don't get out, and you don't even have to. In this day and age, we have everything at the touch of a we have everything on the internet. You can order food through the internet. You can order everything you need right on the internet. You never even have to leave your home. So that can be extremely dangerous. So that just adds kind of fuel to the fire of the one that's suffering from these various disorders.
So back then, my question to you is, why did you not communicate?
I couldn't.
How come? What causes an avoidant to not be able to communicate?
Again, safety, fear of rejection, because if I would have opened up to you, I do not know what you're going to say. You could lash out at me, and you, as my wife, especially being the closest person on the planet, you have the greatest ability to hurt me more so than any other person on the planet. So.
But don't you see that you were pushing me away at that point in time anyway? So why?
Of course, but that is the conundrum of the person that's avoidant personality. They want love with everything in them, but they don't want love with everything in them at the same time. It's like, if I can use a parallel to a movie, which some people get, some people don't, but I like to use it anyway because it fits so well. There was a movie called 2001 Space Odyssey, and the computer is named Hal. Hal was programmed with the inability to lie. He was told that he doesn't lie, he doesn't hurt anybody, he always tells the truth, period. Now, but he was also given a secondary set of instructions in private that he was to keep certain aspects of the mission secret. And those two sets of instructions were in conflict with each other. So at some point, Hal became paranoid and eventually broke down and caused a lot of deaths. And if you've seen it, you know the ending. And that is very similar to what someone with avoidant personality is going through, because they have these conflicting sets of instructions. Yes, on the one hand, I want love with every bit of my being. I want to be accepted. But on the other hand, I am so paralyzed by fear that I'm not going to. So these two sets of instructions are so diametrically opposed that eventually, if something is not done, you're going to self-destruct. Just like how. Does that make sense?
No. But yes. So in our relationship, I would challenge you. You know, like, there's something wrong. There's something broke. We got to get help. So we would try to get help. We would try to get counseling. We would go to our church. We would do all of these things, and it just made it worse. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I want these people to tell him what a jackwagon he's being and be on my side. I want people to see that I'm not crazy and that he's the cause of this problem. He's the problem. He's the one, you know, so that he can see that it's not just me saying that it's his he's causing the problem. And that did not go over well. Do you want to talk about why that doesn't go over well? Like a traditional maybe therapy or counseling or seeing a church pastor or whatever?
Well, you're the therapist in the relationship. I don't know if my wife is actually going to school to become a licensed therapist. After everything she went through with me, hey, go figure that that's what she wants to do.
But that's what I wanted to now do that since she figured, I was in fourth grade.
So. Now that she wanted to figure me out, now she wants to figure out everybody else. And I say good luck to you. there's so much that I could go into about people with avoidant personality disorder. And those are the things. I have a class that I'm putting together, which is hours and hours and hours on being avoidant personality disorder and stuff that I don't have time to go into.
Well, maybe just take out a couple nuggets. And because what I want to share with people that are listening, you probably have said, as the normal, let's go get some counseling. Like, see, they're going to tell you, and then you're going to get it finally because somebody else is going to tell you. And then it backfires. Why does it backfire?
Well, because typically the one with avoidant personality disorder is stubborn. It's not just stubborn. It's fear of rejection, fear of other people, fear of authority. You just don't trust anybody. I didn't trust anybody, and I'm still probably somewhat of an untrusting person. I am very skeptical of what people say, and I think part of that is just hardwired. That's how God made me, and that's a gift that I have that I tend to be very careful. And that allows me to protect the people that I love because I'm very careful and I'm very protective. And I think that is something that a lot, if not all people that avoidant personality have, is they have that ingrained in them to want to protect. But at the same time, that avoidant personality disorder throws a big monkey wrench into the works and causes a great deal of problems because you just simply can't trust. You can't protect.
You can't control everything. And I think I always continued to accuse you of being controlling, which you were, but it wasn't out of a vindictive way either. It was just someone like you had all of these
safety mechanisms.
Yes, built in. And so, you know, if you know you were going to go to the grocery store, guess who's going with you? Because that's safe.
And that's part of the reason for the controlling is because if I can control the situation, then I can protect myself against hurt. Because if I'm in control, then nobody else is going to be able to get to me and hurt me. So that is a very common attribute of someone that has avoidant personality. They tend to be pretty controlling.
Yep,
exactly.
And so for someone who's normal, they're and the people around them that are normal and are seeing these things, they're seeing it through lenses of that person is not okay. Something is wrong. So you tend to not have any empathy. You have no understanding. You lack complete wisdom when you're on that other side. All you see is this person is this horrible, nasty, controlling, you know, just this person that, you know, says they love you, but look what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely, again, one of those things where it's not logical. And so I'm here in the marriage going, okay, God, remember, I believe that you brought us together, so I'm going to keep plugging away. And I don't know, but I mean, I lost a little bit of myself probably every single day that we were married. And in the mix of all of it all, you know, we were going through financial hardships, which under a normal marriage situation, that's really brutal, you know, just to have financial hardships. Dealing with it in a relationship with a man that has avoidant personality disorder, guess what? They want to avoid everything.
Yeah, so go figure.
They just want to avoid the finance. Who cares, you know? And someone who like me, I'm just like, let's crush it. Let's figure it out. I felt like we were just a sinking ship, and I had no partner in it. So a good part of our marriage, I just felt like it wasn't a partnership at all. And it led to, you know, like, it led to problems with intimacy with us, because you were hurting me so much. I didn't want to be close with you physically and intimately. And I think that's another just ugly part of how destructive avoidant personality disorder can be in a relationship, especially if you don't have the understanding and the grace towards somebody. And so about it was 2008, I feel like God just really gave me some clarity. I was driving to work one day. It was really just like, God, I don't know. Like, this is so ugly. I hate this. I hate him. I've thought that so many times in my head. Like, this man, he is not who I thought he was. What is going on, God? Just, you got to tell me. And I hit a stoplight, and all of a sudden in my head, I hear avoidant personality disorder. And I thought, what in the world? Like, that rings a bell, but I don't know what he's talking about. Truly. And so I went back to my office and I, you know, Googled what little stuff was out there about it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I just had such extreme compassion. I literally sat at my desk and I bawled, because I started understanding on a level that I could not even grasp. And I had so much compassion for this man that was like trapped in his own prison. And it made me have like this flood of love towards him, that I kind of think that must be how Jesus feels towards us, you know, to know how broken we are. And he knows he's the way, the truth, and the life. And he has all of this compassion towards us. That's why he died for us, you know?
So do you want to address the elephant in the room?
I don't know.
Well, if you had to do it over again, would you?
I'm not hesitating for any other reason other than to try to figure out how to explain, because I know I'm stronger now. If I had to go through it again, I wish I would have known then what I know now. So I hope that us telling these people that might be in these relationships, you know, you can't look at it through normal eyes. You can't apply normal therapies. You can't look at this as something like one size fits all to fix it. This is such there's a huge population of people that are avoidants, right? But in the grand scheme of the population, it's a very small population, right? And then you deal with the people that are in a relationship, and then that comparison even narrows even further down. And so, you know, we live in this society that tells you, like, do this or that. If you get counseling and this doesn't work, then drop it, leave it, go. You know, you deserve better. And all of that is true. You do deserve better. I deserve to be treated better than what you treated me. And so on one hand, yes, I would do it over again if I would have known what I know now. But I wouldn't do it again knowing how hard it has been without having a helper to help me along with that.
Exactly. And it was definitely hard. And Rebecca touched on how many people have avoidant personality. And I get emails from people all over the world that have avoidant personality. It's not just a U.S. thing, even though I think that's where the majority is. It's something from people everywhere. I've gotten emails from everywhere from India to the Philippines and everywhere in between that have avoidant personality. It's difficult to get statistics just because of the nature of avoidant personality. They tend to avoid things. They tend to hide in the shadows. So it's very difficult to get them to come out of those shadows, even long enough to be counted. So it's difficult. There's a number of people that have avoidant personality that go see therapists, but there's a huge number that don't. So it's incredibly difficult to get any sort of reliable statistics. I would estimate probably around 1% of the population, which doesn't sound like a lot until you think about the population of the world, which I'm told right now is about 7.2 billion. So 1% of that, I don't know, I'm terrible at math. What's 1% of 11.2?
That's a lot of people.
It's a whole lot of people.
I think that, you know, we have to kind of get back to the fact, would we do it again or not?
Yes.
Well,
I know I would.
You would?
Yeah, of course I would.
Wow.
Because...
Well, yeah, because you're better off.
It's been great for me.
You got the good end of the stick.
I got the good end of the stick. I've gone through avoidant personality, and I've come out the other side. I won't say that I've 100% healed, but I would say that I'm the majority of the way there, at least, and still on a journey. It's just like salvation. Salvation is free. You ask for it. You get it right then and there, but you still have to walk it out daily. Well, it's kind of the same aspect with avoidant personality. You can get healed from it, but you still have to walk it out on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm loving life. I'm grateful for everything. In fact, I even tell my wife I'm grateful for the foreclosure. I'm grateful for the bankruptcy. I'm grateful for the hard times, because the hard times are what teaches us. It's not the good times when you learn things. It's not the good times that you've gone through which help you grow. It's the tough times. It's that time when water goes through the hardest rock and comes out the other side the purest. That's because of the struggle it had to go through. That's because of the hardness of its journey. That's how it became that pure.
Well, and with that, I would say, you know, if you do have avoidant personality, please don't be stubborn. Don't push that person out of your life, or push them to the place where they have no other choice than to walk away. Because they're in your life to help you. They're in your life to help get you through that, and to make you or help you be a better person, and to help you out of that bondage that you're in that disorder, you know, and to give you hope. And I feel like God put me in your life to be His arms and hands extended as a physical person. And you were supposed to be that to me too. But because we had this other entity in our relationship, it made it awful. It literally felt like, you know, a third person in our relationship. And it was really, really hard, to the point where I just couldn't handle it. You know, I literally could not handle, even though I had an understanding and compassion. I mean, again, years and years and years went by. And we thought we would take two steps forward and one step back, two forward, one back, one forward, three back. And it was like this all of the time. And then we're trying to raise a child, and then him being controlling and me trying to be more lenient. That caused friction and, you know, different things like that. Just normal life stuff that was happening, you know, made it even 10 times harder just to be in a relationship. And it was hard. And so I'm just saying, if you have avoidant personality disorder and you have somebody in your life and it's hard, you need to have the wherewithal right now to understand that person is in your life for a reason, and do not blow a good thing, because that that thing could walk away from you, and then you'll be by yourself, and then guess what? You know, it's going to be hard.
And this is the whole purpose behind these podcasts that I'm doing, and eventually the classes, and eventually the book, because there's such a huge segment of the population that deals with not only avoidant personality, but the various conditions with which make up avoidant personality, like depression and social anxiety and blah, 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 all these others. And a lot of these people, they're not getting the help that they need. And to see proof of that, all you have to do is turn on the news. There's so many people that are killing themselves because they have no hope in their lives. There are people that are standing on observatories and shooting people hand over fist, going into schools and killing people because they're so angry at the world and themselves. They're so depressed that it's have to eventually have to lash out. And unfortunately, that is the result. That's what happens if you don't get some help. These things can happen if you're not careful. So just like my wife said, you need to try. And that's the purpose of us being here, because we want to provide that help. We want to provide this through the safety of the internet and of and radio. You might not go see a therapist, but maybe you'll come listen to us. Maybe you'll turn on the radio, turn on your computer, and listen to this podcast and receive some help and some hope here. That's what we're trying to do, right?
Right.
So I would definitely reiterate that if you're somebody that's struggling with avoidant personality, seek some help. I'm not saying therapists are bad, not by any means. They have a place. Even drugs may have a place. Don't rely on them, but they can have a place to take the edge off sometimes. Sometimes that's definitely needed. But you need help. And if you're the normal in the relationship, you need help too. Because if you're trying to be in a relationship with somebody who's avoidant personality and you're pulling your hair out and you're about to go dive off a cliff, don't do it. Don't give up. You need to pray and seek God and hang on. Now,
reach out to people that can really empathize with you, because that's the key right there. A lot of normal people probably don't have others to lean on. Even going to counselors, the counselors will say, "You're nuts. You need to walk away from this man." I've actually had probably three people in my life recently that said they've gone to couples therapy, and the therapist will say to the normal one or whatever, just, "This person is beyond help. You need to walk away." And that's so heartbreaking, especially because I have a counseling heart. You know, nobody's that far gone, honestly. Like, nobody can be that far gone to not have the grace of God
and there's
the Holy
always
Spirit be on them and change them.
There's always hope in God. There's always hope. And people can change. I know it can be difficult, and sometimes it can be very hard to imagine. But there is hope, and things can change. And sometimes, just like me, and some parts of the testimony I didn't get to that I was hoping to, but we'll go into it probably next time, because I went through some very painful times where I basically hit rock bottom. And it was at that point that I was really able to start recovering and find the healing. Now, one of the things that I want to go over real quick before we end, because I'm going to have to wrap this up here very quickly. And this is something that I go over in every single podcast, because I think it's such a vital and critical part of it, is, and it's basically, it's just that you're not your disorder. Now, I hear this all the time. I hear people say, "I am an alcoholic," or "I am an avoidant personality," or "I am fat," whatever, fill in the blanks with whatever condition you have. And that is saying, because this is who you are. You are who God made you. The God in the Bible says you're wonderfully made. You're beautifully made. You're made in the image of Him. So if you call yourself these things, then you're basically calling God kind of a liar. You're saying that He made me this way, and He didn't. He made you a beautiful, wonderful person. But if you separate yourself from the disorder, then all of a sudden it becomes something that you can address, something you attack, something you can get healing from. So I'd say I just happen to be someone that has avoidant personality. Fill in the blanks. I just happen to be somebody that's overweight. I just happen to be somebody that has an alcohol problem or whatever the case may be. Then all of a sudden it's a separate thing. It can be attacked. It can be healed. It can be taken care of. God can take care of it, but he's not going to change you. You're who God made you to be. I hope that makes sense. I have actually probably an hour long lesson on this alone. So this is a quick summary, but this is something I like to touch on in every single podcast because it's such a critical thing. It seems small, but it is not. It'll make all the difference in the world. Start separating yourself from that disorder and watch if things don't change. I promise you they will. Now, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this week's podcast. And as always, I want to have a real quick prayer just before I end things. Father, there's so many people out there that struggle from avoidant personality. I just pray that you would touch every one of them out there, Father. Just heal them right now. Just convince them. Just tell them that they are beautifully and wonderfully made. They are your child. Even if they just happen to struggle with avoidant personality, with depression, with on and on and on, these are things that can be healed. And you provide that healing, Father. We know that you can do these things. And we believe right now that you'll touch us all right now, everyone that's listening, and the normals in the relationship too, that you would impart into them understanding of that person with avoidant personality disorder so that they'll understand and have compassion for that person. I just ask right now for all the lying spirits in Jesus' name to just shut up and go away in Jesus' name. All right. I pray that everybody would have a wonderful day out there, and we'll see you again next Wednesday at the same time.
This has been Renewing Your Mind with Philip and Rebecca Dacus. Find more resources at our website, avoidance.org. And join us again next time for Renewing Your Mind.
Hardships, difficulties,
right now.
Tears, storms, this is what I do.
I smile.
Woo!
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Boy, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I've been here for a while.
Still,
I smile.
See, I just don't want you to be happy. But then you gotta have something happy then. You to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.